you may go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 96. And as you're turning there, a couple of questions for you to think over. A couple weeks ago, we transformed the triangle. Why? Why would we seek to transform the triangle? Why do we encourage members to go to South Asia, to go to East Asia, to go to Africa, to go to Central America? Why do we hold Kids Zone, Trail Life, a church picnic? Maybe you have an answer. Maybe you're wondering, yeah, why do we do all those things? Well, the simple answer is we do that because the Lord reigns. That's it. The Lord reigns. And our choices and our decisions reflect that truth. They are to reflect that truth, and they do. Your decisions, your choices reflect who you think reigns. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we act because He reigns. And this is the reason, then, that we are to glorify and to enjoy Him forever, because He reigns. And that truth changes everything. It changes every calculus for every question. Who reigns? Impacts how we view the past and the present and the future. Because if the Lord truly is reigning, then we know the doctrine of providence, that He is governing all things. We just sang about that. He's a governor of the nations. That He is working all things together for the good of His people. He can only do that if He reigns. We believe that the Father is subjecting all things under the feet of Jesus, to whom He has given all authority in heaven and on earth. The Lord reigns. God is, has been, and will accomplish all His holy will. And this is the point of Psalm 96. 96 is an anthem for the Christian life, because it celebrates the Lord's righteous administration. We have sung the first part of it. At the end of the service, we'll sing the latter half of it. But let me read it to you. Psalm 96 is found on page 634. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Psalm 96. Sing, sing, sing. You get the point? What's one thing you should do? Sing. That wasn't hard, all right? It was not difficult. God's people sing. Of course, some perhaps do it more sweetly than others, but we are to sing. And we are to sing along with the whole earth. This is where the psalm begins, and the psalmist will develop that a bit further at the very end about what does it mean for the whole earth to sing. But singing is one way in which we bless the Lord. We acknowledge who he is. We give him the glory that's due his name. It's also one way that we tell of his salvation and declare his glory. We do it by the songs we sing. So just think about some of the songs you listened to over this last week. They were calling attention and giving glory to something. A girlfriend? A boyfriend? Work? God? Depends on what station you listen to. Depends on what's in your feed, in your Spotify. But all those songs are calling attention. They're glorifying something. And many of us sing along. Some of us do so ignorantly. But in singing, we glorify something. And we tell about how things are and perhaps even how they should be or we wish them to be. And Psalm 96 is telling us the way things are. And by singing this psalm, we fulfill it itself, sing, sing, sing. We bless the Lord. And we tell of his salvation and declare his glory. Psalm 96 has an evangelistic impact because it's calling the earth to worship. Not unlike what happened in Acts chapter 2, when people from all over the Roman Empire were in Jerusalem. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. And they said, "We hear them, these disciples, these Galileans, telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And immediately it led to the question, what do these things mean? And Peter preaches the gospel. And so it is as we sing praise. As we call the earth to respond, what do these things mean? In fact, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of Psalm 96, translates the word tell as evangelize. Announce or publish good news. And what is that good news? That the Lord reigns. We are to tell of his mighty acts. We're to tell of God's marvelous works of creation and redemption. These are the content of our praise. And so by the worship of the church, the world hears good tidings of great joy. And what do they hear? That in Christ there is the forgiveness of sins. That in Christ there is reconciliation available with God. Paul writes to the Corinthians, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Have you been reconciled to God? I implore you today, if you've not been, be reconciled. Hear this good news and believe the good news. In Christ, there is the forgiveness of sins. Be reconciled and then bring your praise and your worship because it is his due. It's what we owe him. He is God. He is worthy of our praise. We might think sometimes that we are God and wish to be God, but we aren't. You are not God and neither am I. And we're all happy about that. Though sometimes we wish we were because we think somehow God didn't quite get it right. There's something lacking in his governance. But no, he's God. He is the Lord. He rules and he reigns. Fear and reverence are due to him. That's what he's owed. Because he is not like these so-called gods of the nations. The Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, he made the heavens. The gods of the nations are worthless. They are weak. They are deficient. They are impotent. And both Psalm 135 and Psalm 115 call this out. And I was in my study. This is one of my bookends. And I have a little Playmobil of Martin Luther. And what's interesting is this Playmobil figure has eyes, but guess what? He can't see. He has a mouth, but he can't speak. Now, Playmobil, he has no nose. This guy has a nose, but he can't smell. The gods of the nations may have ears, but they can't. He has feet, but he can't move. They both have hands, but they can't do anything. So my little Martin Luther and, we could call this Augustine, I don't know. These guys are no different from the gods of the nations. Just let that sink in for a moment. The Playmobil in your toy box. The Legos in your toy box. The dolls in your toy box are no different from the gods of the nations. But our God is in the heavens. and he does whatsoever he pleases. He is the one who has made all things. He is most majestic, most glorious, strong and beautiful. And if this God is not the object of your affections, if he is not the object of your worship, you should be very much afraid. Because you are taking his honor and his glory that is due him and giving it to someone else. And the God of the heavens, the one who made all things, has told us he will not share his glory with another. So the psalm calls us to acknowledge this God. Ascribe, ascribe, ascribe. You get the point? We are to sing and we are to ascribe, to acknowledge the Lord as Lord, that he alone possesses all glory and strength. So he again is worthy of your adoration. And ascribing glory means confessing his preeminence. There's an invitation here. But it is not an invitation that you and I are empowered to decline. Maybe you've been invited to a wedding and you look at your calendar and think, oh, I've already got something planned that day. And so you send your regrets. When the king says, come, you come. This is not the kind of invitation that says, oh, I'm going to send my regrets. When the King of Kings and Lord of Lords says, come, you come. And that's hard for us as Americans to grasp. And this whole idea of the Lord reigns, that he's a king, we don't know what that's like. We tend to too often speak disrespectfully of our political leaders. We get a chance to vote them out of office every couple of years. We get a chance to have our say. But under a monarchy, that doesn't happen. You get a king. And you acknowledge the king. And when he says, come, you come. And you come appropriately. Bringing a gift. Coming in the splendor of holiness. There's an interesting little story in 1 Samuel chapter 11 when Saul is inaugurated king. We're told that some worthless fellows said, how can this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no present. Next chapter, Saul delivers Israel. And the people said to Samuel, who is it that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. We don't have this sense of honor the way monarchs are expected to be honored. This comes up again in Isaiah chapter 60. Your gates shall be open continually. Day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. So the psalmist says, come, ascribe, 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 bring an offering. And those that don't will perish. And so the Lord welcomes all. All who come to Him by faith in Jesus. And He invites all to come. And He even provides the holiness. When He says, worship Him in the splendor of holiness, He provides that by giving freely of His Holy Spirit to all who ask. But you must respond. The nations must respond by faith, wholeheartedly, without reservation. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus into the very presence of God the Father. We cannot come any other way. The nations of the world are lost. They are in deep darkness. And many of them don't know any better. This is the missionary mandate. This is why the word must go forth so that they hear. How will they turn if they never hear? And so this is where the psalm brings us. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. And then the psalm looks to the future with a vision of the end. The whole creation, which presently groans under the weight of a curse, then united together in joyful worship. The heavens, the earth, the sea, the fields, the forests, exulting. We don't usually use that word very much, exult. It means to express extreme joy. They're roaring and rejoicing and singing. And so Psalm 96 is anticipating the promise in Romans 8, which we've already read. When the creation will be released from its bondage to corruption, and the Lord will make His blessings flow as far as the curse is found. Can you feel that anticipation? Do you share it? That's more to the point. Do you yourself feel it? That eager anticipation. Because the whole creation, we're told, is experiencing the pains of childbirth now. And some of you know what that's like. And you moms get a chance to disciple the rest of us in that area, because I've not experienced those. I have stood by, as my wife has, but I've not. So I don't really know what it feels like. So you mothers get to tell us about that experience. Still can't maybe really wrap our heads around it because we haven't experienced it. But you who have can kind of share your story. But the creation is experiencing those things now. Drought, floods, fires, storms. But the day is coming when the whole cosmos will be at peace. No more pain. No more curse, because the former things will have passed away. And I'm realizing the older I'm getting, and I'm not old compared to some of you, this is becoming more and more important to me. I'm longing more and more for that future. Because more and more I'm starting to feel the frailties and the weaknesses and the pains and the regrets and the sorrow and the tears of this life. And Psalm 96 says, though, it's giving way to something better. Something we can hardly imagine. And in that day, there will be justice. Some of you have suffered injustice, grave injustice. And there is a day coming when justice will be done. There will be an honest and complete reckoning. And for many, that's a terrifying prospect. Because that day will overtake them when they are unprepared. It'll catch them by surprise. I, as a teacher, don't usually use pop quizzes. I give fair warning, but I have been the victim of pop quizzes. And if you are not ready, it's frightening. Take out a sheet of paper and number your paper 1 to 10. And you're thinking, oh no. Was that today? Write down the Bill of Rights. List the Ten Commandments. Yes, in order. For some, that day will be terrifying. Caught by surprise, unprepared, persons will face the full fury of God's righteous wrath against all unrighteousness. And many will be consigned to the outer darkness, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the destiny for all those who do not know God, who do not follow Jesus, who have not trusted in Him. But for those who do, it's a day of vindication. Wrongs will be set right, because God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Spurgeon, commenting on this text, said this, and I have to read it to you. Honesty, veracity, integrity will rule upon His judgment seat. No nation shall be favored there, and none be made to suffer through prejudice. The black man shall be tried by the same law as his white master. The aboriginal shall have justice executed for him against his civilized exterminator. The crushed and hunted bushman shall have space to appeal against the boar who slaughtered his tribe. And the South Sea Islander shall gain attention to his piteous complaint against the treacherous wretch who kidnapped him from his home. There shall be true judgment given without fear or favor. And so it will be. For those dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, who take refuge under His wing, who rest in Christ alone, fullness of joy. Peace, shalom to the utmost. This is Psalm 96. I would like you to read or sing this psalm every day this week. This is your homework. I want you to take Psalm 96 as an anthem for your Christian life, and to let the psalm stir your heart. This is the goal. I want the psalm to stir your heart as we exalt the Lord together in our households. And let the psalm build eager expectation for the Lord's future appearing. And so we will sing, and we will declare among the nations, the Lord reigns. We'll announce glad tidings that He comes to judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Lord, we bless You. We have sung to You, and we will sing again in a moment. And we have ascribed to You glory and strength, dominion and power, because You have been given all things, and through You and for You, they have been created. And we are Yours. And so we turn our affections towards You. Holy Spirit, renew us. Renew our minds. Renew our hearts. May Psalm 96 be our own testimony of faith that You reign and that You are coming to judge the world with equity. And Lord, if there is somebody here who is not yet ready for that day of Your appearing, Holy Spirit, call him or her now. Let them hear Your voice. Renew them. Restore them. Regenerate them as only You can. That they, together with us, might finish this psalm, looking forward with joy to that day of judgment, when You will come and the earth will welcome You with singing and roaring and cheering. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. Amen.